Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the first day of May, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the ARC Project Revisited. And before we get into that and current events, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that I did not say Yiddish. Ancient Hebrew, that's our language. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambeth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep comments and or commentary as short as possible so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode here on freeconferencecall.com. We give a shout out to Cigar Jimmy up there in Tampa with his audience. And hope everybody is doing well. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. And on that website, we're adding to it all the time. I try to update it every single day with news items, health issues, current events, stuff for the lock and load page. Of course, that's got to do with weaponry, firearms, etc. Survival stuff will be there. There are links to educational material for learning this message. Also, a lot of tips on prepper information. And, of course, there are the archives of all the past programs, at least the ones I've uploaded. There's also a link there for a master directory of all the programs back to 1999. So if you see a program that you think would be interested in the menu or in that index and it's not loaded up, if you send me a quick email, and that's at the website, the email address, if you send it to me, I will upload it as quickly as possible. I was looking through the index today looking for something else and noticed just how many excellent, excellent guests that By Yahweh's Design has had over the years. So many people. To my mind, I instantly go to people like General Ben Parton of the United States Air Force and all the wonderful things he told us about Oklahoma City. Lately, it's been Cody Snodgrass, who is a CIA contractor, he was a CIA contractor, and he had inside knowledge about Oklahoma City, which verified a lot of the things the general told us. Colonel Don de Grand Pre, Colonel Francis Farrell, many people, Sergeant Barry of the Special Forces Underground, Don de Grand Pre, United States Army Colonel, police officers, of course, James Lancia with Downtown White Police, and Jay, his buddy. So lots and lots of good folks, way too many to list here now. But if you go to that index and you find something of interest, please let me know and we'll upload it. There is an awful lot of things going on right now. Over the past few days, I've fielded a few calls, and that's why I wanted to talk about the ARC Project before we get into current events, because some doors seem to be cracking open for us in that effort, and I'm going to pursue that over the next 2 to 3 weeks as much as I can. I also ask for prayers for my sister, who will be going into major surgery around the 13th of this month. So there's a lot of things going on, just trying to stay above it all, stay focused, stay level-headed. The good news is that many of the topics and many of the issues we've brought up on this radio program over the years are starting to be duplicated and reiterated over many other channels. And so that's a verse in the Bible coming true where it says that Father's truth and His word would not go out into the ethers and come back to him void. These truths, sometimes they take time to permeate through society, but in the end, it will. Okay, that's what Father's trying to tell us. That's why it says be patient. That's why he said to, when you plant seeds, don't sit around expecting the plant to pop up through the ground, symbolically speaking. When you plant the seeds of truth, it's not always going to take hold immediately, okay? Sometimes it might take a while. Sometimes it might even take years. I've told you the story where I've had family, cousins of mine that used to ridicule me at the family reunion 20 years ago, 25 years ago, recently called to apologize. Well, that took 25 years. That's a quarter of a century before they realized the things I was telling them was true. So things don't happen instantly. If you want instant gratification, go the way of the world. That's all it has, instant gratification. It cannot suffice in any way to satisfy you other than instant gratification. It will be shallow. It's not going to be long-lasting, but it'll be quick. All right, just like the medical mafia, they got a pill, they got a surgery, they got a procedure. It'll be quick. It may not be the best thing to do. It may not last for long. Just like they talk people into the LASIK surgery for your eyes. Oh, I have family members that jumped in there and got it. Some of them are having some problems now, and some of them were lied to. Just like my father went in for lipotripsy, which is the sonic waves bouncing into your kidneys to break up a stone. He was told that it was basically painless, it won't harm you, it's just sound waves. The very first words when he came out of the doctor's office to meet me so that I could drive him home was, "I will never do that again. No matter what, I will never do that again." So, you know, you can take the bait of the New World Order, the cabal, deep state, whatever you want to call them. They're just basically Satanists and liars, all right? And it's the same old trick, taking Yahweh's people and getting to do evil things and do things that are not for their best interests by deceiving them. Gee, who is it? Somebody I read recently has a motto that they would make war by deception. Let's see. Let me try to think about. Oh, that's right. The Israeli Mossad. That's amazing, isn't it? Jews would do something by deception. Well, I thought they were Bible-believing, God-loving, God-fearing. Someday you're going to turn to Christ people. Let me know how that works out for you, folks, as you sit around waiting for them to come to Christ, okay? Because it is never going to happen. It's never meant to happen. That's why Christ said he spoke in parables. There are those here who would hear and possibly repent and escape the damnation that's already been set aside for them. Gee, who could that be? Let's see, Obadiah says it's who? Edom Esau. Ezekiel, chapter 25, said who is it? Edom Esau. The Jewish encyclopedia says, what? Oh, that's right. Edom Esau is found in modern Jewry. Gee, imagine that. And who is it that we see every time something nefarious is going on in the world if it isn't a Jewish face or a Jewish name associated with it? And for the folks that don't look Jewish, dig a little deeper, just like the geek and administrative general Colin Powell, who wouldn't make the pimple on a real general's ass. Colin Powell could speak perfect Yiddish. So you want to know how he got his job? There you go. Why did the press always cut him a break, even though he lied to us many times? Same way Wesley Clark, another cryptic Jew. Okay, same thing. They get a pass. No matter how many things they do wrong, no matter how many lies they told us, no matter how many our sons and daughters died in these Jewish wars, but they get a pass because they know the secret code. They can go to the verses in the Talmud, and they can speak the Yiddish. I believe Christ referred to it as the language of deceivers. Isn't it funny that the word Yid means deceiver in their own bastard language, which is mostly ancient German. That's what Yiddish is. Yid is a deceiver in the language of Yiddish. The language of deceivers. Okay, we're going to have a little lesson on vocabulary. We got a new word. I want it to go far and wide. Kakistocracy, K-A-K-I-S. Kakistocracy, T-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Kakistocracy, defined as governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. The Free Dictionary puts it this way: government by the least qualified or the most unprincipled citizens. Of course, some of our cretins that we've had in Washington of late aren't even citizens, are they? In fact, if you go back to the founding of the country, most of the people in Washington would not qualify for citizenship. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing that, but you know what? I don't care. That's a fact. This country was never founded to be a melting pot of races and religions. That is Jewish doctrines of devils. That's Jewish bullshit that you're being fed through their control of the media. And it's just not true. As we've bought into that lie of diversity as a strength, our country has been going downhill ever since. Now, divide, multiculturalism, all that is just a form of dividing and conquering, okay? The Bolsheviks are here. Colonel Don de Grand Pre was on this program. He wrote 4 books, Barbarians Inside the Gates was the series. 4 books talking about his time in the military and in the Pentagon and how he observed the work of the Viper. He called them Vipers. And in fact, the one book is called Viper's Venom. All right, so Colonel Don de Grand Pre, General Ben Parton warned of the insurgency of the Third International, Communist Third International in this country. In fact, that worried him much more even than the treason that was committed at Oklahoma City. Elements within this government. So you have to understand something. But people say, well, our government wouldn't do that, Dan. Well, you, hey, wake up. It isn't your government, okay? The shell of your government is there. The facade that you have a working government is there. That's all kabuki theater, all right? It reminds me of the movie The Gladiator, okay, when the piece of dirt son of Marcus Aurelius was made emperor because he murdered his own father and he tried to murder Maximus, played by Russell Crowe, and he's talking to his sister, which he had an incestuous relationship with. Isn't Hollywood just full of great and wonderful things? But anyway, this piece of dirt wants to abolish the Senate and proclaim himself a divine creature, divine emperor. And his sister looks at him and says, no, give the people their illusions. That's what's happening to you today. You're given your illusions. You see, the Bolsheviks want to put a red flag above Washington, D.C. with the hammer and sickle on it. They want to do that like right now. But they've got people advising them, probably from the Mossad, Wait just a little longer. Yeah, you'll have your day when you can murder everybody like you did in Russia, and you can murder the people like you did in the Ukraine, and you can murder all those millions and millions and millions of people you did in China and Cambodia. Okay, you can do that, but just hang on a little bit. Let the people have their illusions that we have a group of good guys fighting in there for us. Really? Well, all I got to say is if they are, Yahweh bless their hearts, they're doing a damn good job of staying hidden. All I see is this country going into the sewer further and further every day. And the cretins and communist insurgents are still walking the streets. That's all I know. Now, Abel Danger, which is Field McConnell, did a video recently where he said it's time to put this all to bed. Well, hallelujah, Field. Where are the men at arms? Okay, nothing's going to happen without the men at arms. Okay, even Mao Zedong said that all political power comes from the end of a rifle. Okay, sad but true, because the good people won't rise up and put down this evil regime that we've got taken over in this world. They won't rise up. They're too busy chasing almighty dollars and material goods. They can't be bothered. You're going to interfere with my daytime television. You're going to interfere with my FaceTime with my cell phone or my tablet. Don't bother me. All right, so now the barrel of the rifle is the only thing left. So where are all the good guys? I agree, Field. It's time. We put up with enough BS. There's been enough death. When are the men-at-arms going to say, I've had enough? And I'm not talking about the generals and admirals, okay? Some of them are good. Some of them aren't any good at all. But this whole idea that there's a bunch of people fighting to save us and we're to sit back on our haunches and let it go, no. Never. We're never to do that at any time. Even if there are white hats, even if there are good guys, doesn't matter. We don't take it for granted. And besides that, couldn't the enemy pretend to be good guys until the very end? Didn't the Bolsheviks tell the Russians they're in there doing what they're doing for the Russian workers to lift them up against that darned old czar and his aristocracy? Well, we're going to come to power and we're going to make everything better for the little guy. Go ask the Russians how that worked out for them, okay? Ask the families of over 100 million Russians that died thanks to the Bolsheviks, Jewish Bolsheviks in Russia. Go ask them how that worked out for them, trusting the Jew, okay? So over here, you got the same thing. You got the Jews on both sides. I mean, you listen to this idiotic stuff about the report and draining the swamp. Let's see, who created the swamp? Jews. Who's got the media by the balls? Jews. Okay, well, who's got medicine by the balls? Jews. Who's got the print media by the balls? Jews. Okay, now, who's Trump putting in charge of getting rid of the swamp? Jews. Now, do the math. Swamp drained by the people who built the swamp. Does that even fit in your brain and the logic circuits of your brain? Does that work out? Okay. Swamp created and run by Jews, and here comes another group of Jews that's going to throw this other group of Jews out. Let me know how that works out for you, America, really. You know, I'm praying it does, but I'm not getting out of my bunker or giving up my weapons or my ammo. I don't give a damn what any of these pencil-neck geeks in government say at the state level, local level, or the federal level. I don't care anymore. As one patriot said recently, I don't give my consent. I'm a free man upon the land, made in the image of the Almighty God above. I don't give my consent to you traitors. I don't give my consent to any of you bastards. I have a God-given right to walk this earth. I have a God-given right to protect myself, my family, and my property. It doesn't rely on any of you geeks out there in suits and in your clothes thinking that in the legislature you can undo God's law. Isaiah 33 and 22 says different. We already have a lawgiver. William Blackstone, the great jurist, said that it's already been settled. God's already determined what's right and wrong. We don't have a right to make laws that go against God's law. Correct? That's exactly right. Here's what I like also. This is a great one right here. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's why I'm going to revisit the ARC project, because we have groups of people starting to come together right now contacting me. It's starting to come together. Great minds think alike. Our people are beginning to realize that the enemy has won these victories against us because we have been divided. Do you think a solution to it might be to unite? I'm just throwing it out there. I know it's hard. You know, it's really, really far-fetched to think about, but let's see. He divided us and has conquered us. could it be that if we were to stop the belly aching and backstabbing and all that and came together like a family again, that we might be able to beat these guys, you think? Just throwing it out there. See what you think. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his publication of The Value of Good Work, he said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. Some versions say the world will beat a path to his door. No matter where he's at, there'll beat a path to it. There'll be so many people coming after him. Build a better mousetrap. Build a new model, as Mr. Richard Fuller said. Don't go by the obsolete. This one's falling away. People are now realizing, even young people today are starting to talk about the fact that they've been lied to. This system doesn't work. Public education is a joke. The universities and colleges are jokes. Even Coach Dabomir on his program Pass the Salt was talking about if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't have gone to college and he wouldn't send his children to college today. In fact, he would highly recommend homeschooling, which I've done. I've done both. I had 3 of my 6 children go to public school. 3 of my 6 children were homeschooled. So I saw the difference within my own children. So you can't tell me it doesn't work. I know damn well it works. The Roman Emperor Trajan. Now, this is for the commanders out there, all right? We're going to have a war. I'm not saying we're not going to have a war. This is going to go to a fight. Unless by the grace of Almighty God, he opens up the earth and swallows these bastards up. If not, we're going to have a fight on our hands. So this is what the Roman Emperor Trajan told his Roman legions, okay? And this is perfect because it fits with us today. I hope all of our veterans out there are listening. He told his commanders and his men, use this sword against my enemies. If, there we go, just like in the scriptures, it's important to remember what if means. Use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands. Now, does that imply that the Emperor Trajan could make his own decision about what's righteous? Well, this whole quote is nonsensical if Trajan thought that he was the author of what's good and bad. Obviously, he's talking about our Heavenly Father's version of good and bad. So if I give righteous commands, but if I give unrighteous commands, use this sword against me. I would say that to all of the veterans, all of the former police officers, all of the militiamen, all of the patriots that are out there. Same thing. All of those who would want to be commanders of this uprising, if you will, against evil, remember, as long as you're giving righteous commands, our know-how, our blood, sweat, and toil, our weapons will be used in support for righteous commands. If you use unrighteous commands, then all of those things will be used against you. Understood? If this war is good against evil, I don't know what it's going to take to get people to understand that. Black Pill Channel had a beautiful saying on here a couple months ago. When non-white men get angry, they might burn a few buildings. When white men get angry, they burn down empires. And I think Abel Danger, Field McConnell would agree with that one. So would Coach Dave Dabomir, and so would Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and so would Pastor Lawrence Blanchard. And I believe our founding fathers who were in the black-robed regiment of the days of 1775 that were instrumental in rising the awareness of the colonists to the tyranny of England and the need for righteousness and liberty. they were as instrumental in the American Revolution as any. I do want to also give a shout out about the new web browser called Brave, and you can just go to brave.com. I've been using it now for, I think, over a week, and with great success. I've tried a lot of these other browsers, and they were okay, but not so good. This one is, I believe it was Patriotic Guys put it together as an alternative to Google's Chrome. And again, I'm using it with great success. If we find out later on there's something wrong with it, of course, I'll pass that on to you. But it is an alternative to Chrome. I hated Chrome, mostly because it's associated with Google. Speaking of our leaders for the times that are coming, especially as we're going to get into this area of building an ark for our people, this is a quote from Thomas Watson Sr. "Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself." And the old way of saying it is, actions speak louder than words. And Christ told us, judge them by their fruits, their day-to-day fruits. What's the fruit of their day-to-day doings? That's how you can justify it. And you can tell who you're dealing with. Another good saying I think we all ought to hang on to is, once you become, quote, fearless, life becomes limitless. Hallelujah for that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." In other words, if you are lusting for money, another verse says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Amen, it is. How are they bribing our people to go into this transgender abomination? Love of money, love of material things, love of praise, glory, airtime on TV, anything like that, okay? But mostly it's money. They're putting money. Look at Jenner, Bruce Jenner, okay? Great decathlon winner, gold medal winner of the Olympics. What did it take for this guy to jump in there and go through the transgender? $3 million. Okay, there's the price of a man's soul, $3 million. And $3 million, by the way, is just a drop in the bucket to these bastards that live in the basement of the Federal Reserve and go down to the synagogues laughing about what they can get us sheep to do with their magical digits that they produce in the Federal Reserve and in the basements of these digital banking system, fiat currency. You know, it's funny. People say, "Well, I'm not going to get into the cryptocurrencies and all that. I don't believe in that. I like real money." You like real money. Let's see. How much money did you get when you bought your house? What kind of denominations did the bills come in the suitcase that when you went down to the bank and they gave you the loan for your house? Okay. Was it in hundreds? Was it in thousands? Let's face it, you bought that house for what? 300 grand, right? That's a lot of bills. Maybe it was in two suitcases. Just how much money? Or wait a minute, maybe it was gold bars. How many gold bars did you get from the banker? Wait a minute. You didn't get gold bars? You didn't get currency? You didn't get silver? You didn't get tungsten? You didn't get platinum? Well, what the hell did you get? Oh, electronic digits in an entry on a ledger, and that's electronic too nowadays. So you had an electronic number put into an electronic ledger, and that's what you're paying 3 to 4 times back to the bankers in the sweat of your labor, called your paycheck, to that banker, and all he produced was an electronic digit in a computer and put it in a spreadsheet. And you're giving your blood, sweat, and tears, the most productive years of your life to those bankers who produce nothing more than a push of a button on a computer. Yeah, you don't believe in electronic money. You own your house. Sure you do. First of all, the bank owns your house. And then if you live long enough to pay the bastard off, then the government owns it. Because if you don't pay your taxes, even if you're short by $1, they will claim the right to take your house. You don't own anything. We've been talking about this issue on this program for nearly 20 years now. Okay, it's 19 and a half years, almost 20. And I've had guest after guest after guest talking about these very issues. And just now, many of these other people like Coach Dave and Pastor Baldwin, etc., are telling their audiences the exact same thing that we've been saying, and people were calling us crazy, you're just paranoid, the government wouldn't lie to us, the media wouldn't lie to us, the bankers wouldn't lie to us, the generals wouldn't lie to us. Yeah, they would. Okay? And again, it's Proverbs 1:19. The ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, it takes away the life of its owners. Not only this life, but the life to come. What profited a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? See, a fool says in his heart that there is no God, no Elohim God, no superior being, no judgment day. That's a fool. Now, how do you look at yourself? Are you a fool? Now, people say, well, Dan, you know, these people have a right to be atheists. Sure you do. Sure you do. You have a right to go put a gun to your head and blow your brains out, too. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, does it? It doesn't mean I have to agree with you. But you have a right to go do that. You have a right to go down and put on 180 pounds of extra weight on your body, which is going to kill you much faster. You have a right to do that. I have a right to tell you that I think you're an idiot for doing it. You have a right to believe what you see on the television, the Talmud vision, the electronic toilet. Okay, you have a right to believe that. Sure you do. And I have a right to tell you you're a moron. Okay, you're being deceived by Satan's own children. It's the image controlled by the beast. I saw Owen Benjamin did a very good video, I think it was today or yesterday, where he was talking about the verse that talks about us bowing down and praying to our false idols. And he took a cell phone and he held it in front of him and bowed down like most people you see today, bowed over watching their cell phones, praying to their false gods, their idols. It's amazing how much is right in front of our faces and we're not even seeing it. I'm almost finished with another good book. I'm going to tell you about it right now, and then I'll probably do a video report on it shortly after I do finish it. But it's worth a read, especially for you men. I think the women could get something from it, too. There's an awful lot of Bible verses in there, many of the same things we've talked about here. And it's by a soldier and a first responder by the name of Jamie Walden. And it's called Omega Dynamics. I think it came out for sale in February of this year, so that's only a few months ago. But Omega Dynamics, and let me read just a little bit of what the jacket says about the book. We are at war. It is a savage campaign being waged against the hearts, minds, and souls of mankind, as laid out from Genesis to Revelation, and it is rapidly approaching its prophesied convergent zenith. Standing on the front lines amid the fray of battle are the redeemed sons and daughters in Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach. As such, our true and better Commander-in-Chief, the Lord God Almighty, has sounded the battle cry that a warrior class of Christians arise and confidently advance in the power of his Omega dynamics. The powerful and effectual actions of the redeemed of Yahweh victoriously going forth in the end of the age, referencing Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Again, Omega Dynamics, I believe the website is omegadynamics.org, and Jamie Walden is the author. So far, it's been a very, very good book, and I was very pleased that Jamie knows our Father's name. Now, he's careful how he put it in the book. He doesn't cram it down anybody's throat, but at least he acknowledges our Father has a proper name, and the scripture tells us that there's power in the name. Which, of course, as we are preparing for this great battle with our enemy forces, we should remember all the things that set us apart, all the things that give us his grace and his protection. Now, before I get into these other current events and all, as far as the ARC project, there's a couple things that are coming to the surface here recently, and one of them is the fact that so many of our people are hurting financially, and part of that is because the white man is being disenfranchised in his own land, and not just here in the States, but even overseas. So he's being disenfranchised, and it's costing him dearly. So we have to settle for lower wages. Sometimes we can't even hardly find work. I talked to a lady today. Her husband has been, because of the system and different things that have been going on, even though he's an extremely intelligent man, a naturopath, she said it's been 20 years since he's been able to work in his chosen profession, because he's been blackballed. Okay, I know an economist in Georgia, same thing. Our good buddy down here in the Tampa area, Phil, lost a job he had had for, I think, 16 years. He's back to work now, but it's doing something completely different, not in his chosen field. So our people are hurting because of pretty much the way it was with Gideon. Gideon, of course, was hiding the wheat in the wine press to keep the Midianites and the invaders from stealing his wheat crop, which is what? That's your savings account. It's your property, things of value that you can use for your family. Well, Gideon was hiding wheat in a wine press so that they couldn't find it. I often wonder if that's one of the reasons that our Heavenly Father picked Gideon to pull off the tremendous military victory against his enemies, because he was shrewd enough and brave enough to say, I'm going to hide the wheat from these parasites, these Talmudic thumping parasites, and the invaders that they have enabled to come into our lands. I'm going to hide the wheat so they can't get it. So that was part of the discussion that we were having, is how can we follow Gideon's example in this day and age and hide our wheat from our invaders so we can feed our own families, instead of our people driving down the road in 18-year-old automobiles while invaders a century ago were living in mud huts in Africa eating beetles, are driving down the road in Mercedes-Benzes and BMWs. New ones, not old ones. Okay? Now, I got nothing against anybody who fairly can outperform me and provide something better than I can for his family. I have no problem with that. But I'll be damned if I'm going to say it's okay when you get your job because of the color of your skin or the sex organs that you were born with. When you get a job because of those things, now you've pissed me off. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. I watched it happen in the United States Air Force starting in the 1970s, right around 1975, when some piece of shit in the Pentagon, excuse my French, decided that we didn't have enough minorities in the maintenance squadrons of the Air Force, and we didn't have enough women. They actually came out with orders to the command over that. Okay? We need to get more minorities. Now, there was a reason why we didn't have many minorities and women in my career field. I'll take mine because I'm speaking in the first person here. This is my experience. This isn't secondhand information. It's not rumors. It's not fake news. This is what I lived. I was in the second highest, most qualified technical position as a maintenance technician in the United States Air Force in the 1970s. It was called electronic countermeasures. The only thing higher was to work on the missiles that were in the silos. And you had to have perfect vision to do that, and I didn't. I had a slight astigmatism. That's all it took to keep me out. Now, can you imagine that today, telling a female or a black you can't be in the career in the Air Force you want because you have a slight astigmatism? Oh, that might offend somebody. So we'll let them in. But when I was in, even with the test scores that I had, which made me qualified for any job in the United States Air Force, I was told I couldn't have the one I wanted, which was missiles, because I had a slight astigmatism in my vision. They didn't care about hurting my feelings. They didn't care that I didn't get the career that I was that I had picked. So I told the recruiter, I said, well, what's the second highest maintenance program that you have requiring the second highest scores on the entrance exams? And that was electronic countermeasures. I said, that's the one I'll take then. You see what I'm saying? So they didn't mind that white guys who came out of school as honor society, which I did, top 10% of the graduating class, which I did, got out of my basic training in the top 10% and got an extra stripe coming out of basic training, which I did. That didn't matter. A slight astigmatism kept me out of my chosen career. Do you see how things have changed? So along comes 1975, and guess what? Well, we don't have enough females, and we don't have enough blacks and browns and whatnots in our in career fields like that, so we're going to change that. But we, at that time, assumed it meant, well, they're going to do recruiting, they're going to tell, you know, hey, why don't you try for this? And they would take the same tests that we did and score the same scores that we did. Only later did we find out that, no, that's not what they did. They lowered the test scores for the minorities and for the females. So sure enough, I watched it happen at the Air Force base I was on. After they instituted that, here comes the first blacks, here comes the first Puerto Ricans, the first Mexicans, and the first women into our squadron. And nothing against these people as people. They have a right to life, liberty, and property. I got no problem with that. But when you come into my career field, the thing that I worked my ass off to be qualified to do, and then you get it handed to you because of the color of your skin or your sex, yeah, you pissed me off. And here's the other reason it pissed me off. I'm in the United States Air Force during the Vietnam War. Our job is to keep the bombers from being shot down by missiles. That's what electronic countermeasures is. It's called jamming. Our job was to electronically jam the enemy's radar so that they couldn't shoot the missiles and the planes couldn't direct their missiles or their guns on the bombers. Well, so that's pretty serious business, wouldn't you think? And when I debrief the officers getting off the planes, they appreciate how much work we put into keeping that gear in tip-top shape because it kept them alive. When an enemy's radar paints the side of a B-52 bomber, the EWO officer, EWO stands for Electronic Warfare Officer, the EWO officer has 7 seconds to turn on our jamming transmitter and tune it to the right frequency to jam that radar. If they don't do it within 7 seconds, the enemy has enough information to know how to shoot that plane down. Now, that was clear back in 1975. Can you imagine what it is today? So it's serious business, isn't it? Okay, that bomber crew and that bomber are in our hands. And our Air Force Command decides to play games because we don't want to hurt blacks' feelings, browns' feelings, yellow feelings, or female feelings. We're going to put our crews in jeopardy. We're going to diminish the quality of maintenance and calibrations that were done to the equipment. Yeah, now you pissed me off. Now you made a mockery of everything I was told in school, a mockery of everything I was told in basic training, a mockery of everything in my tech school, and a mockery for what the United States Air Force was to stand for and we as veterans and soldiers were supposed to do. You made a mockery of all of that just so you could make the Talmud thumpers feel better so that they could divert and separate us to make us more easily conquered by our Bolshevik masters. Yeah, you pissed me off. And I've been screaming about it ever since. And that's why I'm on the idea of the ARC project. I think it's time that we start white businesses for white people and run them the way our Heavenly Father intends us to run them. And if these geeks don't like it, they can go to hell. That's what I think we should do. Now, my question is, are any of you out there ready to do that? I know guys that are ready to do it. Are you ready to do it? Okay, we can't do it alone. And talk is cheap. I know lots of people saying, oh, we need to do this. But how many people will get off their ass and get off their wallets? Not very many. And that's why the white race is going into the shit toilet of history. Because they are so worried about their possessions that they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see the end of our kind. We're going to read Genesis 7 here in a minute, if you want to open up to it, and find out about what happened in the days of Noah. Because we're going to find that that's what's going to happen here very soon. We're in the days of Noah right now, in case you haven't figured that out. And for you folks that think the tribulation's somewhere down the road, you've been in the tribulation, folks. You just have been ignorant of the tribulation. You didn't realize you were in the tribulation because of the great deception. Okay, that's the problem. But you have been in it, trust me. When you go down enough rabbit holes and see what these people have done, you're going to find out we've been in the Great Tribulation. There has been innocent blood spilt by the millions of gallons. Our land is cursed until we vindicate or avenge that innocent blood. Now, we're told that as it was in the days of Noah, okay? So the whole idea behind the Ark Project is, well, what do we do to protect ourselves from the fire of Yahweh's judgment? Okay? That, because it's coming. It's right around the corner, just like the flood came. Now, in human terms, we think, oh, God damn it. It hasn't happened yet. I've been hearing guys like you blow steam for decades. Oh, geez. It ain't. Well, you know what? They said the same thing in the days of Noah. They mocked him as his family built the boat. They mocked him. Do you see any rain? Do you see any clouds in the skies? What are you going to float this damn boat on, Noah? There ain't no water anywhere around here. What are you doing? Chapter 7, Genesis. And Yahweh said to Noah, come with all your household into the ship or the ark, for I have seen your righteousness. Uh-oh. How did Noah and his family get picked? Their righteousness before me in this generation. That's actually a mistranslation. Your righteousness before me in this race. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to think about race. In fact, they're even telling our young people that it's a mental construct. Can you believe how ridiculously moronic that statement is? That race is a social construct and not real. It's ridiculous. Any anthropologist, any medical doctor, any nurse, anybody designing drugs will tell you race does matter. But they're telling you it doesn't matter. You shall take 7 pairs of every clean animal with you, the male and his female. Now, that was an interesting trivia question that I actually failed. Some years ago, somebody said, Dan, how many animals did Noah take onto the ark? I said he took 2 of every kind. You can see paintings with that, TV shows with that, preachers talking about it. And he said, no, Dan, he took 7 of the clean and he took 2 of the unclean. And I thought, uh-oh, I better go back and reread Genesis chapter 7. Sure enough, take 7 pairs of the clean. Now, why was that? Because they were going to eat the clean animals. You don't eat the unclean. Oh, well, Dan, are you trying to tell me there's a difference between what's clean and unclean for us to eat? Yeah, there was then, and there still is now. As you consume your pussy pig meat and you think you're doing your family and your body a favor, well, like I said, let me know how it works for you on Judgment Day when you have mocked his law. And let me know how it is when you're laying up on that hospital bed having your guts ripped out or your organs replaced or your joints replaced because you knew better than the God who created you. Let me know how that works out for you, will you? So they took 7 of the unclean, of the animals that are not clean, take 2, the male and his female, also of the birds of the sky, 7 and 7, male and female. Well, how about that? Birds of the sky. Why? Because some are clean, some aren't clean. Extra birds. And birds are very small. To keep seed alive on the surface of all the earth. What seed? What seed do you think that might be? In 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Every living thing that I have made I will destroy from the surface of the ground. It doesn't say the whole earth. From the ground in the area where Noah and his family were. Many of the researchers think it was the Tarim Basin of China. It fits perfectly. There's a huge mountain range around that area. It's where the 4 rivers that are mentioned in the Garden of Eden or could easily have been. And if you look at the work of the archaeologists, it seems that the Aryan man migrated from that region. And we do know that the land called China today at one time was ruled by Aryan people. We know that. The very word Khan is an ancient Hebrew word. Khan for leader or ruler. Like Kublai Khan, Khan is our word. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came on the earth. Noah went into the ship with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives because of the flood waters. Clean animals, unclean animals, birds, and everything that creeps on the ground went by pairs to Noah into the ship, male and female, as Yahweh God commanded Noah. Now, how about that? Now, do you actually think that Noah built a boat big enough for every species on the entire earth to fit in there? Do you actually think that? Or how about the ones indigenous to the area right around where he was at? Yeah, that makes a hell of a lot more sense, doesn't it? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep were burst open, and the sky's windows were opened. It rained on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the same day, Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his son with him entered into the ship. They and every man, every animal after its kind, all the livestock after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. The reason I said what I said just now, after its kind. What do you think that means, folks? You think that's put in there by accident? Do you think it's an accident that the word kind comes from the German Kinder, as in kindergarten, to guard the children? Kinder is children. Kinder, kind, kinder, garten, to guard, kindergarten, guard the children. Kind after kind, meaning half-breeds, mongrels, hybrids, aren't going to come onto the ark, are they? Do you think there's a message in there for us today? Now, a lot of people say, Dan, you sound like you're trying to say something negative there to all these race-mixed people. And believe me, we got a ton of them today. Well, let me tell you, I never signed on for the job with our Heavenly Father to make friends, and I never signed on it to kiss people's asses, and I never signed on it to twist things to make you feel better. That's not my job. My job is simply to tell you the truth. What you do about it is your business. What our Heavenly Father is going to do to you is His business as well. I'm just telling you that you have stepped out of line. Now, I admit that the race-mixed person had nothing to do with it. It's actually the sin of the parents visited upon the children. I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. My heart goes out to you. I just praise Yahweh every day that my ancestors believed that race matters. I told my children that when they were young and they became of age to go start dating and everything. You better not bring somebody of another race around me. No, I didn't threaten them bodily. I just simply said, if you do that, I will disown you, which I have a right to do. I said, I don't have to like you. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to send you any gifts. I don't want gifts from you. I don't want phone calls from you. And by God, I don't want you and your bastard children to darken the doorstep of my home. I told that to them. You can ask my children. Every one of them got the same speech. People say, well, that's pretty hard, Dan. Well, you know what? That's what it takes to overcome the influences of the beast on our children today. It takes sternness. How did I get over my peer group who tried to get me to smoke cigarettes and drink beer and skip school when I was a teenager? It was called fear of my father. What do you think keeps the Adamic man straight? Fear of God Almighty. You see, we work by incentives, and if you don't fear anything, you'll be a god unto yourself, won't you? You'll come up with all kinds of reasons why you can do anything you damn well please. Again, let me know how that works out for you, will you? People can say, Dan, it's a new age, and you know this is the enlightened period, and we're not hung up on those things. And, you know, your dad sounds like he was an ogre and overbearing. I praise the living God every day that my father was as strict as he was. Okay? Every day of my life, I thank God for my mother and father and my grandparents. Strict, old-time, old-fashioned, strict elders and parents. They did not waver a bit. They read the law to me, and it never changed from the time I was 1 year old until I graduated high school. The law never changed. Unlike man and his foibles today, and we get Hollywood telling us what's right and wrong, which changes every season, depending on which pervert's in charge. Okay? I was given a set of rules, and it did not change. So I only had one target to hit, not a moving target. My target was fixed. And the good news was, as I worked my ass off to meet those goals of my parents, there were rewards for that, and there was punishment when I veered off track. Just like real life. Isn't that amazing? You know, they want you to feel good and, oh, you can be this and be that. But, you know, the sad thing is you're going to become a cuck and a soy boy and you're not going to be good for anything. Already I'm talking to a lot of people. They can't find good workers. They can't find people that know how to do almost anything anymore. So they come out of the school system feeling great about themselves. But there were no demands, no rules, no boundaries. Sick. It's sick. I'm just telling you, kind after kind, you better get it straight. And you better stop mixing. And Jimmy's got in here, where is there, what do birds do with mixed eggs? They kill the chicks. Or, yeah, they kill the chicks. A robin mixed with a blue jay is a good example. That doesn't happen very often, so people say, well, that sounds cruel, but in the natural world, you don't hardly ever see sparrows and pigeons and blue jays mixing. That almost never. Usually that only happens even in the animal kingdom with dogs and cattle and all that. They stay to their own kind when they're left alone. It's when man gets involved. He puts them in pens and they're not able to be around their own kind. Or we think we're so smart and we're going to create a new breed. So we put a Guernsey heifer in with a Angus bull. And we think we're going to do something smart. We're going to make a new breed. So, well, yeah, if that's the only cow around, that bull, when that cow goes in heat, he's going to get the signal it's time to mate, and he'll mate with it. He'll mate with it if he doesn't detect anything seriously wrong with it, because a bull will check for any signs of illness or disease. So again, man steps in and screws up the whole thing. Nature knows that kind after kind only creates problems. Go read the book Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman if you want an education on what race mixing will do as far as the science and the medical aspect. And go read a book by V.S. Harrell entitled The Sixth Law of God. If you want to know what the Bible verse means that they tell you says, do not commit adultery. That's not what it says. If you think about it, it could mean that, except that they have over the years twisted the meaning of adultery. What does the root word alter or adulterate mean? It means to pollute, to mix what should not be mixed. That's what altering or adulterating is. Okay, so what do you think adultery is? It's committing the act of adulteration. But they're telling you, well, no, it's married people having sex outside of their marriage, which is totally ludicrous, completely idiotic. Okay, let me find out where I left off here. Those who went in male and female of all flesh, as Yahweh God commanded him, then Yahweh shut him in. Who shut him in? Yahweh did. Who's going to shut us in to protect us from what's about ready to happen? The Father himself. The flood was 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and lifted up the ship, and it was lifted up above the earth. Above the earth. I wonder if there's some symbology in that for this day and age. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ship floated on the surface of the waters. The waters rose very high on the earth. All the high mountains that were under the whole sky were covered. The waters rose 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh died that moved on the earth. Now, this word earth is aretz, or ge in the Greek, and it means an area. It doesn't mean the whole earth, like we think when we see the word earth. It means an area. It depends on the context, including birds, livestock, animals, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. Meaning what? The disobedient men, the men that mocked Noah and mocked the living God. All on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died. Every living creature. Every living thing was destroyed that was on the surface of the ground, including man, livestock, creeping things, and birds of the sky. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth 150 days. Okay, so as it was in the days of Noah, what was going on around Noah and his area where he was building the ship? Okay, all kinds of nonsense. Race mixing, eating whatever foods they want, adulterating, polluting, fornication, perversion, pretty much what you see in the white nations today. I mean, let's face it, we're celebrating an 11-year-old boy prancing around as a drag queen. It's incredible. I just still shake my head that the America I grew up in has reached this point in a mere 60 years. That's all. 60 years since I was a boy and first aware of anything going on around me at 5 years old. 60 years later, it's nothing at all like it. Nothing. Not even close. And people say, when I used to tell them, television is trying to program us into the way they want us to be. They want us to race mix. They want us to throw away standards. They want to soften us and turn us into good little boys and girls for the New World Order. Oh, Dan, TV can't do that. It's just entertainment. It's just entertainment. Why do you think the Bible, and it says this in several places, says to guard what enters your eyes and to guard what enters your ears? Why do you think that is, folks? You think that was just put in there for the hell of it? No. It was telling you that what you see with your eyes and what you hear with your ears can affect you. That's why it tells you to resist evil. Stay away from it. Don't listen. Don't turn on television shows that are filling your heads full of nonsense. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. You're supposed to have good things, righteous things, commonsensical things, things that are edifying, that build, that bring love and peace and harmony. Let those guide you. Not what the New World Order is putting out there. It's totally ridiculous. Now, one of the YouTube channels I was watching talking about men are starting to rise up against this feminist notion of toxic masculinity, and I'm going to try to get it. I'll have links to this on my website in the near future, which are books by Jack Donovan. And one of them is The Way of Men. And it's he actually wrote three books. And it's talking about how to make men men again. Because this society has been trying to destroy maleness. And as the gentleman that runs the YouTube channel, Entrepreneurs in Cars, as he was talking about it, how would it work? Let's see. If you woke up tomorrow, let's say we had some way of doing this. Let's say Commander Dan put out the word and said, every white man is going to take Wednesday off this week. Even better yet, let's say we're going to take a week off. All right, we're going to plan for it. And every white man is going to take an entire week off. What do you think it would do to this society? Now, if the girls got together and said, you know what, for 1 week, all of us girls are going to take the day off, which one do you think we would survive better? I'm just asking. I think it's a fair question to ask. Okay? What do you think would happen? Now, let's apply that also to the racial aspect. Since they say it makes no difference, obviously, then it doesn't matter. But what if all the white people, men and women, were to take a week off? What do you think would happen in this world? And then what if all the non-whites took a day off? Which one would survive better? Okay, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked yourself the question? Have you ever had enough courage to ask yourself that question? Which one would survive better? Which one would be okay if all the rest of them disappeared? If every white nation on earth had some device that Father gave us and you could click a button and every non-white disappeared in our lands, what do you think the world would be like within the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Russia? Okay, what do you think? You ever stop and think about that? Every other race disappeared. What do you think would be like? You think we'd fall apart? especially if you could push that button that says Obadiah 18 on it. Okay? There's a nice big red button over there. It's got Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18 on it. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, so that's why a lot of people don't say chapter 1. There is only one chapter, so it's just Obadiah, verse 18. Okay? Big red button, Obadiah 18. And guess what? A new heaven and a new earth. You don't think so? You other races need to pay attention to what I'm talking about. There's one group of people working to destroy this earth who think that they are the masters of all mankind, that all of us are here to be their slaves. One group of people have that attitude. It's the one group of people you're not allowed to criticize. The one group of people you'll never see anything bad about in print. Because they control the media. They control your government. They control your schools. So you can say anything bad about Christ, Buddha, Muhammad. You can say something bad about almost anybody in history. But don't you dare talk about the Jew. Yep. Obadiah 18, big red button, let's push it. Bring peace on earth again, and every man will have life, liberty, and property. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? I watched the video by Colonel Potter, and he says things are getting hot, and watch out for groups like Antifa, all of them funded by these Jewish communists. Could be interesting times. We are today, of course, being May Day in the communist circles. This is almost like a holy day to the Bolsheviks. So, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of stuff going out. I guess tomorrow we'll find out about that. Venezuela had a false flag coup down there, but it fell apart because unlike the white nations of this earth, the Venezuelan people are not as... how should we say, spoiled on the tit of Babylon. They know how to feed themselves. They know how to defend themselves. They're not cucks. They haven't been desensitized. They haven't been turned into little soy boys and girls the way our people have. Venezuela is in a position to where they can defend themselves far better than most any other nation that the New World Order has tried to subjugate to steal their gold and steal their oil and their other resources. So interesting down there. And the world is starting to wake up to the nefarious governments, including our own, by the way. Now, again, along the ideas of this ARC project, we want to build a community, or at least all of us get together in an area and build businesses. I'm trying to organize a meeting in the next couple weeks with some folks that have ideas on how we might proceed with something like that. So personally, I'm going to do it one way or the other. Who shows up, shows up. I've got two or three folks that I know for sure will be there. And quite frankly, if that's all that shows up, it'll still be a positive thing. I have a feeling more than that are going to show up. There's a lot of frustration with the way this world is. I talked to a lady. Her husband wrote a book called Gun Rights, and that's R-I-T-E-S. His name was Frank. Good man. Excellent book. But his widow lives up in Indiana, and she has tried the various churches up there, and just nothing good there. Just like a lady down here went to a local church. She thought she was going to a rock concert. Okay? And each of these people I talk to, they in turn have other friends who are very similar ages and locations and situations, and all of them reporting the same thing. So this tells me that we are entering into the period that Ezekiel told us about, the pouring out of Yahweh's spirit upon all flesh. He's talking about his flesh. But it's not just the white race, folks. I mean, the frustration's in everybody, because this isn't working, okay? Multiculturalism doesn't work for anybody. It creates tension. I've noticed lately that every store I go into with a black person behind the register, there is definitely animosity there. Okay? Very, very scowl look on their face. No hello, no thank you, no good to have a good day. Basically, very gruff, very sterile behavior. Animosity. You can see it in their eyes and in their behavior. And I'm not saying every black person, obviously, but down here, there are a lot of black people. And they have displaced even the Cubans and the Latinos down here. When I came down here, it was mostly Latinos. And lately, ever since the Muslim homosexual traitor Bolshevik has been in the White House, the things that he put in motion replaced even the Latinos with blacks. Almost all of the department, especially the chain stores, are, it's all black. Black managers, black tellers, black stockers. Lately, a few more Latinos, and occasionally you'll even see a white person. Not very often, but you'll actually see a white person from time to time, okay? So it may be reversing a little bit, but there's a hell of a lot of black people been given jobs. And personally, they don't deserve them. If they have a piss-poor attitude like that, I'm the customer. I'm the paying customer. I'm used to going into stores with white people working in them, especially white Christian people, and there's a smile and a thank you for coming in. How are you doing? There's pleasantries. There's courteousness. Is there anything I can do to help you? Can you find everything? That's the way it's supposed to work. Not this scowling look at you and just take your money as if you owe it to them. Hey, take your attitude and shove it. You're an invader in my land. My ancestors built this land. I don't give a shit what your homosexual, Muslim, traitor, communist pig that was in the White House says, and all of his sycophants, and the Jews that put him in there, like Rahm Emanuel, his little handler, his little gay boy handler, and his reward was kingship of Chicago. He got that after only 1 year. 1 year of keeping our little Muslim queer boy straight in the White House, and he was given kingship of Chicago. Isn't that sweet? I guess that was decided down at the bathhouse while all the queers were hanging out. Unbelievable. If we survive, and that's a big if at this point, it's going to take a lot of work. And since the good book tells us it was like in the days of Noah, as we await the coming of Messiah, the anointed one, we know that somehow, some way, our family is to survive this. And we had postulated that could it be the network of his sons and daughters working together. Right now, we're separated. That's true. Many of us have hundreds and hundreds of miles. But could the fact that we are starting to realize that we're family and start putting the goals of our family, our race, above personal pettiness, personal jealousies, personal griefs and vendettas, could it possibly be that just the fact of us willing to work together as a team might be our arc? Just putting it out there. Let it mull around in your brain. Get back with me. Let me know what you think. But in the meantime, I'm going to see if Father blesses the efforts that we're going to put forward to seeing if maybe now we could form a community, even if it's a small one, where we can offer people that are lonely. So many of our good people live virtually alone. No friends nearby. Their families have abandoned them. It's sad. It breaks my heart. My concept that I've told everybody is that we will take, and remember, when white men get together, we can destroy empires or build empires. I want to build an empire, and I want to do it the Father's way. And I want to use earth-friendly materials, design homes that are almost completely maintenance-free, that will last lifetimes, not constantly going to the store to buy some garbage from these manufacturers that build nothing but junk anymore. We know how to do that. The technology's there. Just like for good health. I don't go to see the doctor. I don't get annual physicals. I don't even have health insurance. Okay? I have Medicare, but I don't ever plan on using it. It's just something they generated with a piece of legislation, and voila, I've got it. Oh, thank you, but Medicare means that you think I'm going to go into your hospitals under the care of your doctors for my health. I got news for you. That's not going to happen. Okay? Now, if I get in a car wreck and my arm's hanging off, okay, that's catastrophic care. And I will admit surgeons and trauma workers in hospitals are angels when it comes to that, being able to keep somebody alive and putting them back together. But other than that, I wouldn't darken the doorstep to a hospital entrance. That's just my personal opinion. And again, you know, you can do what you want to do, but I don't see Father cursing me for that attitude. As my health continues to get better year after year instead of worse, as I've learned where to get off the Babylonian system that says go out and eat 24 hours a day, buy the junk on the store shelf full of MSG and dyes and sugars and high fructose corn syrup and GMO corn and GMO this, and try intermittent fasting the way our ancestors did it. You know, sometimes the proofs of what we're talking about are right in front of our face. What's the first meal you have in the day? What's it called? Breakfast. Did you ever break down that word? Break, fast. Okay, you pronounce it breakfast, but it's made up of two words. Break, fast. Just like Christmas is Christ's Mass. It's a Catholic Church invention. Christmas is a Catholic Church invention. The Mass of Christ, or Christ's Mass, and we shorten to Christmas. Okay, Catholic invention. So the same thing with this compound word, breakfast. Break fast. What fast? The fast of the 16 hours it takes your body to digest and eliminate toxins. Okay, your body wasn't designed to cram fuel into it 24 hours a day. It was designed to take in fuel 8 hours a day, and then it spends the next 16 hours processing it. You're overtaxing your system. What happens when you keep your foot on the pedal of your car's engine for a long period of time? It'll burn up, won't it? Go down the road at a very, very high rate of speed and you haven't properly prepared for it, you can burn your car engine up. Put too much of a load on it, whatever. Put the wrong kind of fuel in your gas tank. What happens to that engine? Doesn't run very well, does it? And eventually it'll seize up. Put the wrong kind of oil in it. Seize up. And what makes you think your body's any different? It's designed to burn fuel. What kind of fuel? Did you ever look into it? Did you ever read the book Eat Right for Your Blood Type by the two doctors? Man and woman, man and wife team, doctors, both of them MDs, wrote a book, Eat Right for Your Blood Type. Excellent book. I'm O-type blood, and it's exactly everything they said about O-type blood fit me to a T. Perfectly. Including the fact that O-type blood has a very hard time to digest corn. Okay? Is it true of every single O-type person? No, there can be some nuances that are different. Maybe you got a little bit of different genetics or whatever. I don't know. But everything that book talked about O-type blood fit me perfectly, including the stay away from corn. Of course, back when they wrote it, we weren't aware of the GMO aspects of most corn today. But even without GMO, corn is very hard to digest. So you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. So what I'd like people to do is, if you could, keep this whole concept of the ARC project, this idea of the community. And I was just starting to tell you that my idea is that every adult in the community, much like Jacob in his time and our ancestors, every adult will have their own tent. You know, in their day it was called a tent or a yurt. Today it'll be like a tiny house. Some will be smaller than others. It depends on the needs of the person, but much smaller than the average house today. Most of us live in a house that's way too big. Don't need that big of a house. It's that much more you got to take care of, clean, whatever. You don't need it. Not when you design the community the right way. Okay, your home will be your domicile. It'll be your sanctuary. It'll be your place of peace and calmness. And you'll decorate it the way you want. You'll have the temperature where you want. You'll have the humidity where you want. You'll have noise or no noise, light or no light, Wi-Fi or no Wi-Fi. It's all up to you. It's your space. Every adult, even those that are married, even those in relationships, every adult lives in their own place. Now, if you want to visit, that's fine. Even if you want to sleep over, if you're married or whatever, you want to sleep over, nobody's going to stop you. It's your life. That's what you want to do. But you always know that that tent is there waiting for you if you need it. That will make all the difference in the world. Think about it. Think about it. Just knowing that you have that little space, and it's all yours. I've talked about this concept with men for many, many years. Today it's referred to as the man cave, the idea of a man having a man cave, okay? Every single male I talked to drooled at the idea of a man cave and said, that's exactly what I need. Now, back in the old days, men went off to wars, adventures, and stuff. They didn't need a man cave because they spent a lot of time away from home. Okay? Even in my grandfather's time period, many of the homes had a parlor with pocket doors that closed, and the men went in there to sip on a brandy and smoke a cigar and talk business and politics. The women and children stayed out of the room because usually they have no interest in that. And the men have no interest in what the latest recipes are or what's the latest pattern for a dress or a shirt or what. Okay, we're designed into two different areas. This whole idea that women can do what men do and men can do what women do, bullshit. That is just utter nonsense. Nonsense. You weren't created that way. Okay? You can ignore that if you want, but take the blinders off, folks. You're under a strong delusion. The scriptures talk about the latter days there would be a strong delusion that even his elect would be deceived if it were possible. If it were possible. Why are the elect not deceived by all this nonsense? Why are the elect walking away from Babylon, walking away from the poisoned foods, walking away from the vaccines, walking away from the medical mafia, walking away from corporatism? Because they trust and know the living God. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the third eye that still functions within their brain. The antenna that is the spiritual connection between us and our Father. Why do you think they contaminate everything they do? Yeah, they want you sick and want you to die. They make money off of your illnesses. They make money off of your eventual death. But it's even more than that. Before you actually get into that phase, They don't want you to be enlightened. They don't want you to have a spiritual connection. So all of these pollutions, including the chemtrails, guess what organ of your body is the most susceptible to contamination? I'll give you three guesses. Okay? What little tiny organ in your body is the most susceptible to contamination? Yes, the pineal gland. Some people call it the pineal gland, but I call it the pineal because it's named after the pine cone. It looks like a pine cone, pineal, pine cone. Okay, so the pineal gland is actually built with rods and cones exactly the way your eyes are built with rods and cones. The rods and cones are made to pick up light frequencies and turn them into an image. What kind of frequency do you think the pineal gland is picking up? Okay? Just asking. It serves a purpose or Yahweh wouldn't have put it there. So this little gland built with rods and cones exactly the way your eyeball is, your spiritual connection, it's called the third eye. Mystics and ancient cultures, especially those started by the Aryan race, many of them, you'll see the third eye in there. Of course, the Satanists have got a whole different version of that. But for our people in antiquity, it represented that part of your brain, your body that perceives and communicates with the other side. And when you pollute your body with drugs, whether they're legal or illegal, drugs, vaccines, polluted GMO food, hybrid seeds, guess what happens to the pineal gland? It starts to calcify and no longer functions. You know what you become? A zombie. The movies make fun of the very things they're doing to you. They show these people look like they're the walking dead. Do you really think people that are dead and gone for 25, 30 years are going to come up out of the ground? It's figurative, people. It's figurative. Now, Hollywood does that because they're gross and they're evil and they just like doing disgusting things. But what the scripture is talking about, and Ezekiel was talking about in the valley of dead and dry bones, it's a spiritual dead and dry bones. It's a euphemism for what spiritually dead people and people who no longer can communicate with our Holy Spirit and the Spirit of our Father. Think about that. If communication was cut off, you're like a lifeboat that has had the cable or the rope cut, and now you're adrift in this sick world. You have no anchor point. You don't know which way you're going. You don't know what's up, what's down. You're lost. It's sad. Very sad. But you have a choice, folks. Clean up your act. Clean up your bodies. And, you know, here's the other point. Not only will you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father again and understand things more clearly, but you will enjoy your time on this earth so much more. Wouldn't it be nice to get up every morning and not hurt? Not have joints ache? Not have headaches? Have your vision starting to improve? Your thinking ability improve? Your longevity improve? Your ability to play with your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, the ability to go out and ride a bicycle or work on a car instead of being an invalid, instead of being dependent upon this Babylonian Talmudic system that injects you and takes advantage of you and robs your life savings so that they steal it instead of giving it to your children and to your family. Just saying. Think about it. So again, I've seen some very good things in the last few days as far as something happening in the near future for our ARC project or a community project. I would ask that everybody keep that in their prayers. And if you have any ideas along those lines, go to the website, PastorDan.net, and fire me off an email with any suggestions. We're always open to hear from folks. If you think it's a good idea, if you think it's a crazy idea, it's up to you, folks. But we got to do something, all right? We weren't put here to just sit in the pews. And I'm really happy to see Coach Dave Dabamir and Pastor Baldwin and some of the other elders and leaders of people speaking very vehemently to their audiences about the fact that the church has become impotent in this day and age. It's meaningless. It's lukewarm. It's to be vomited out because it is neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. It pretends to be Bolshevik enough to satisfy the Jew, but to be Christian enough to keep the white people buffaloed. So it's lukewarm. It's in between. It won't go clear cold over with the satanic forces, but it won't be hot as Christ wants us to be. It sits in the middle thinking it can be a foot in both sides and survive. Because after all, it's a business, right? Everything's about the business today, isn't it? Right? Keep the business going. Keep the money flowing. Yeah. Keep the money flowing. Did Yahweh put us on this earth with a need for money? Did Adam and Eve have money? Did our ancestors have money? Did Abraham use money? Okay, they had stuff for bartering, and I'm sure they had some shekels made of silver and gold occasionally, but they did a lot of stuff with barter. They didn't actually use money that much, and you could live without money. There were people that did very well that had some extra funds, I'm sure. Abraham and Joseph of Arimathea was a very wealthy man. Jesus Christ himself, after the Parthians dumped the wagon loads of riches upon him, he had money. In his youth, he did. That's why he traveled. He didn't have to beg and borrow. He traveled all over the place. Money itself is not evil. It's never been evil. Just like a pistol is not evil. It's what people do with the pistol that can be evil. Same thing with a baseball bat, a knife, a fork, a piece of wood, a poison, a vaccine. They can all be weaponized. They can all be used for evil. Just because somebody's in a white coat with some lettering on it doesn't mean they're an angel of light. Doesn't mean that they're there to bring healing and peace. Just because somebody shows up at your door in a uniform with a badge doesn't mean they're good guys. Somebody's in a camouflage uniform and a helmet doesn't necessarily mean they're good guys. Everything can be weaponized. Everything can be used to do evil. It also can be used to do good. Mankind is at a junction point here right now. The decision time for what you're going to do is now. What side of the fence are you going to fall on, folks? Yahweh says, I'm calling out to my sheep. Those that hear my voice will leap over that fence onto my side. Come into the pasture with me and do not take your part with the goats, the tares, the antichrists, the children of Satan that Christ referred to. Okay? Don't take part with Babylon. Babylon is going to go down in flames soon. Now, your Bible says in Revelation that it happens in an hour. That's not true. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says that it happens in a short period of time, not a day. It doesn't have a defined hour or days. It just means quickly, pronto, plus vite. Okay? The good news, Father has done what he promised, and that the evil would be exposed, those things that were hidden would be made known. And the army of truth tellers that are working and networking together to expose the lies of the cacistocracy that we live under is in full swing. And praise Yahweh for that. And as people are awakening to the monstrous things that have been done with our money and in the name of our governments, they are not happy people. The world is waking up to the nonsense, to the endless wars and misery brought about by these central banks and central governments and central religions. We don't need them. We don't need them. In fact, we will live very, very well without them. Iceland found out they can live without central banking. Spain found out they could live very well without central government. It's been proven within recent years. Ithaca, New York proved that you can live very, very well with a locally formed script to use as currency instead of money, instead of Babble bucks, Federal Reserve Babble bucks, or even gold and silver. All you got to do is create a script. It's just a form of bartering. Make bartering easier. That's what the Father put for us to use, bartering. Money is alchemy. That's why the Jew is so good at it. He's an alchemist. He's a magician. He's an enchanter and a deceiver. Hocus pocus. So that's why he wants you to think in terms of money for everything. Well, that's actually a trap that he has set for you. When Father's people finally wake up and realize that we can live a very good life and we don't need any of this damn money. We just need to learn how to live as free men and women again and build things to last. Why are you down to the store all the time? Because you're constantly sick. Your car is constantly breaking down. Your house is constantly needing repair. So you're a perpetual consumer. Babylon wants that. Your Heavenly Father doesn't want it. He wants you to build a house that'll last for generations. He wants you to build devices that will last and can be handed down. So you don't need to run to the store. That's the mercantile system spoken of in Revelation. And the day's coming when we will buy their garbage no more. Why is that? Because you're going to find out how to do it yourself again. Like many of you ladies out there, I'm finding out, are learning how to do what again? Make homemade recipes instead of running to the store for every damn thing on the table for dinner. Learn to do it yourself. How much better it is. Organic, farm fresh, garden fresh. Unbelievably. The flavor, the goodness, the nutrition. Instead of running off to the Babylonian store to buy their polluted GMO garbage. And now it's coming in from other countries with contaminants of all kinds. It's a free-for-all. But the good news is it's becoming bad enough, our people are starting to learn how to be independent again. Learning how to do for yourself. That's why he said, come out of Babylon so that you do not suffer her plagues. Because they're right around the corner. Right around the corner. If anybody out there listening live, if you've got any comment or question, whatever, feel free to do the star 6 on your phone or on your computers. Hit the question button. We'll do that. I'll leave it up here for a few more minutes to see if anybody has a comment or question. Jimmy just put up here that there's a hepatitis A outbreak here. Is nuts today in the restaurants. And, well, here's part of the problem with all these outbreaks. Like now, they're trying to make, like they did with Zika, which was a complete hoax. Now they're trying to make everybody scared. You see how the fear porn works? Measles. And especially for us older folks, we can see through their lies and deceptions like there's no tomorrow. Measles is a problem? Run down and get a vaccine for measles? When I was a boy, neighbors at times would bring their children to your house so that they could get the measles. Because they knew once the child had gone through the measles, they were protected for the rest of their life. So get it while they're young. The body can handle it. Every one of my siblings, every one of my cousins, every one of my friends in my age group got the measles, got the mumps, got the chicken pox. Not life-threatening, not even that bad. You got to stay home from school. You laid in bed. Mom would come in and nurse you and make you feel good and put a wet towel on your head because you had a fever. You got babied and pampered for a week or so. And yeah, you didn't feel really great, but hell, wasn't that long. And then you were done. Never had to worry about it again. Isn't that amazing? And now they have you running out, oh, vaccinate me, please, put that poison in my body. Over what? Measles? Zika? Zika's even less dangerous. And yet they poisoned us. Governor of Florida and his wife, isn't it funny how his wife made millions of dollars because of her involvement in the company that won the contract to spray the mosquito poison on all of us here in Florida. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it, the governor signing that we need to spray the mosquitoes because of Zika, and his wife became rich with millions of dollars. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it. They were just concerned over our health. So they sprayed us with the poison. I'm sure that's it. They wouldn't do something like that just for the money, would they? Nah. Our overlords are so beneficial and so concerned with us peons. Yes, they are. Isn't it so nice what they do for us? Welcome to the program, Jimmy. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, brother, I just want to pop in and say hey. And I've been going through hell with corporate America, and now I get a phone call from a guest. His friend flew in from Texas, and he came down from Kentucky, and they ate in one of our very popular places here in St. Petersburg, of which I know the owner. And I get a text from him just... about 2 hours ago, that restaurant is now on the list of Hepe, and I sent you the link from our Tampa cable news network. Dan, you're a smart guy. I just, you know, and this thing's been going on. This has been a slow and methodical thing over the course of the news cycle in the past 6 months. In fact, a very popular restaurant in Ybor City, you know where that is up here in Tampa, that's the Cigar City, and, you know, it's come kind of a nightlife venue, but there are restaurants that are like the Columbia and a lot of, you know, heritage restaurants. They actually had to close their doors because they had an employee. And I was just looking for your take. Is this Kabuki theater, or is it that we're hiring people that are coming up because the Democrats aren't going to be able to get us to vote for them, so they've opened up our borders? And that was kind of a side sling pun. And I look forward to talking to you about the ARC project. I'm in, but got some concerns, and we'll talk about that off air. But back to the HEP, and you know Kim, I'll bring her up just a little bit. Even when I was growing up, we had measles parties, and she had the same. She was like the mama of the community up there in Maine, and my house was one of the houses where the kids came. And we had measles parties. It's like, you know what? They're going to get it. Let's get them all together. The moms would come in almost like nurses, if you will, and you're right. You know, they'd keep the fever in check, and, you know, the only thing that we have to look out for as old guys is maybe, that comes as in older guys, like shingles, or there are byproducts of the measles, but the vaccine isn't going to offset that.
No.
Okay, and so I kind of seeded the end of your show tonight, but let me go back and focus on hepatitis A. What is your theory on that? Because to me, it just doesn't make sense.
I think we're being played. Some of it's partially true. I think a lot of it is fear porn, like they did when the Chi Chi's restaurants had that outbreak years ago. It's a way to generate confusion and fear. So if it is for real, they're hyping it up. They may even be partly to blame for the cause of it, knowing that somebody's got this and letting them come in there. But I think they're making a lot of it up. I believe that they can't get enough people to sign non-disclosure agreements. They can't get enough people to lie. They're starting to run out, especially now that many of these freaks are being found out and challenged. Lawsuits are starting to show up now, some of them in the multi-billions of dollars against these companies, these employees that have been lying to us and taking part in the charade. So as all that word is starting to get out there, they're having a hard time getting people to easily go along, so to speak. So a lot of this stuff, I think, is made up. You know, I told you the story about the lady lawyer that came into the school near Tampa years ago, back when they wanted to push children getting bicycle helmets. And I went to the PTA meeting. My niece was doing part in a play that was part of this PTA program. And my sister said, stick around. There's a lady going to talk to us about children's safety. So I wanted to hear that. I said, okay, well, I'll listen. So this Jewish female lawyer gets up there and starts telling us about this tragic story of Billy in the neighborhood, who was riding his bicycle down a hill, and he got up ahead of steam, and he couldn't stop, and he crashed his bike and hit his head into a telephone pole, and now he's possibly never going to recover correctly. I mean, this was a gigantic sob story, and everybody, oh my goodness, they got exactly what they wanted. Oh, we'll sign the petition. You're right. We need to get helmets for the children. And I looked at my sister. I said, this entire story is bullshit. And she goes, what?
And Dan, real quick, we hear that in these rallies and even on, you know, Congress. I want to, and they'll put a, you know, over expensive picture of Molly. And I just want to tell you the story of Molly and blah, 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 blah. You know what? I wiped out on my bicycle a couple times. One time I did get pretty banged up. Hell, I wiped out. I hit the side of a paint truck on my motorcycle and my helmet flew off. Maybe that's why I'm who I am. But things happen. You know, and same with... So your point is they hired this person with this Esquire after her name. And do you think she was secretly involved in investment of the helmet company or the company that produced these helmets or lobbying? You know, I mean, it's back to the almighty frickin' dollar. Everything,
right.
everything.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And I promise I won't get wound up. You know, I appreciate you giving me a little airtime. But, you know, I'm with you on, and I don't know if you meant Chi-Chi's or not to ever correct you, but the Chipola. Or
no,
maybe it was both. But
Chi-Chi's years ago was something came in on the lettuce, and I can't remember what it was. But it was Chi-Chi's. I don't know if they went bankrupt at that time, but they had a lot of stores closed down because people stopped going to them.
Yeah, they lost faith, and you do your best, and you wash the lettuce, and you get good lettuce. But Chipotle, if you remember that, I think that was 100% corporate espionage. And, you know, I've known the proprietor of this restaurant, Dan, for over 30 years. I was in downtown St. Pete when he was going around looking for investors. He became very, 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 very successful. His location is right near St. Pete Dome. You know, he toughed it out for years, and once baseball came in, and when I got a text from my friend that I will see in the paper, I'm sure, in the morning. And then let me read you one more headline here that I want to talk about. And it's in the same, and it's a headline, and it's been up there for 2 days. It says, watch now. Is our democracy at risk? Our democracy at risk? Can utopia exist? Chief National Political Reporter Josh Robin seeks answers in Untangled. And Dan, the reason I'm bringing that up is that there are everybody on the dark side keeps referring to us as a democracy. And I watched the second round of the Barr hearing, you know, our Attorney General Barr. And I'll tell you what, I want to learn control from that man, because he got drilled by Cory Booker and all the other ass clowns out there, that little ass clown from Hawaii, and who's the, I forget her name for the most part, but I know how she got to her job.
Toronto,
but they keep referring to us as a democracy.
Right.
We're a republic, aren't we, or correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, no. We're a republic, and I've been writing letters since the 1980s to congressmen about why are you on national television or national radio referring to us as a democracy. So I've been bitching about this for decades. And, of course, they ignore you, but they have been slowly doing
it. It's conditioning, Dan.
Yeah, it's conditioning.
Yeah.
Exactly. Predictive programming.
Well, and Kamala Harris, or whatever the hell her name is, and in California, I mean, she is one of the most disrespectful animals on this planet, and I tell you, it's hard to put her at the top, but I encourage you to, I'm sure Fox has it on YouTube, and if you've got the time to even put it on and, you know, do your daily things and listen to it in the background, I just pray to our Lord above that this thing is about to pop, because these people are desperate. And also on my show notes, and I appreciate your mic time, what's your take on this North Carolina shooting? I actually have access now to, a ton of police radio frequencies. And so I punched in last night and I texted you, but you were out and about, and, you know, I heard the play-by-play on the police radio, and I actually had it on my YouTube channel for people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
22-year-old, they've got his mugshot up there. He looks like a white boy that wanted to be black with the style of hair. His name, again, I'm like you, Dan. If I have a job opening at my company, I don't care if you're white, black, red, yellow, or purple. If you fit the bill, like your Air Force story, you get the job. Nobody's going to tell me I have to hire 2.5 MUDs or 2.5 women. I also fully agree with you on record that men are men, women are women. And I also like the old days where the men did go to the parlor after dinner and the women, you know, maybe nipped a little brandy and talked about the dress recipes, or, you know, minded the kids. We need that back. We need that back. And you know what? Any, I know some very progressive women. I even hate that word. But you know, when Kim was here, Dan, she expected things out of me, and I expected things out of her, and that's why we got along. I took care of her as my girl, and she took care of me as her man.
Mm-hmm.
And there was harmony there. And we need that back. And there I go preaching again. But we were designed. I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, look in the mirror when you take a shower in the morning and look at your equipment. You got something hanging down there, you're a man, or you're a male. I'm not going to say you're a man anymore. But, you know, I did go all over the map. But what is your, especially in North Carolina, where they're on a roll for gun grabs and baby killing after the womb, and North Carolina's lost. What is your take on that? You know, is this just some arbitrary thing. Did it happen on May 1st, the last day of collegiate studies, just before exam week? Was this kabuki theater? Because they're willing to sacrifice, by the way, folks. And if you think I'm wrong, let's go back to 9/11. Let's put this kid in there and have him go in there and go wild with a handgun, because they've given up on the assault weapon. So let's prove that a handgun can be deadly. And I'm not leading the witness, Your Honor. I'm just, Dan, what's your take? And I'll yield with that. What do you think?
I think it's a combination of both. Some of it is, it's all staged, no matter what it is. It's all part of the kabuki theater, but sometimes it actually involves people getting hurt and things like that. Certainly it does, just like 9/11. But was it planned all along? Was it all part of the stage production by the cabal? Absolutely. So, if they're promoting it, it's kabuki theater. It's all kabuki theater. If it were for real, they wouldn't be promoting it. Because if it were for real, you'd probably find a minority involved, or you'd find a Jew. Look at all these anti-Semitic charges being bantered about lately, and they're finding out many times it's a Jew, like that Canadian store up there that claimed that there were anti-Semitic slurs spray-painted on their establishment, and found out it was the Jews themselves that did it. And that happens time after time again. In Pennsylvania, where my children live, there was a graveyard, and some of the Jews' tombstones and whatnot had spray paints on them, and the tombstones were pushed over. And they claimed it was a bunch of white supremacists and everything else, and come to find out it was the Jews themselves that did it. They want sympathy. They want everybody. They want to keep this victim status. And since the whites have turned into the cucks that they are, there is no real anti-Semitism. There's no real KKK left anymore. There's no real white men standing up for their race anymore. So they've got to generate it. That was the whole reason for the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, both of them, was they would take the money and donations from scared Jews so they could enrich themselves, and then they take a portion of that money and pay for people to pull off these stunts so that they can keep the Jews spending money and giving it to them.
It's like a fire department setting fire to buildings.
Exactly.
Only to create business and look like heroes. I mean, again, folks, we're
Same
not
thing.
Nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
It's happened over and over and over the years. And that's why I say, if it's in the media, I don't trust it, because even if it did happen, they will twist it to whatever their agenda is. And they've even made up things. Look at the Gulf of Tonkin, got us into the Vietnam War. Completely made
yes.
up. Completely yes. made up by the White House. All right? So will these assholes do that? Absolutely. They don't give a damn
well,
about
see,
our
I used
lives
to think,
or anything.
I used to think even the Boston bombing and, you know, you and I met by through me airing Cody. Cody's been on my show three times, and I need to reach out and get him back to another show. I think he's kind of back on the circuit. But let me tell you another interesting thing I observed just before we took you live. I was watching this incident in California unfold, and it was live on Fox, and they had the chopper, and they brought in the SWAT team, and this kid was in a parking lot, backed into the space, and, you know, all the police cars and everything, and then in comes the SWAT team. I think they called it the Tiger or whatever. It was this big armored car-looking thing, and it positioned itself behind the car. And the kid finally got out, but here's what I observed, and I recorded this. He got out of the car, laid on the ground, spread his arms out, locked his legs together, and Dan, I swear to Lord above, there were chalk marks on the pavement. And much like, you know, when they find a body, I don't know if they still do it today, but they'll make the where the corpse was, and so Columbo can go in and, you know, just ask one more question. And again, I'm going to send you that clip. There were chalk marks where his body or his surrender was going on, and they weren't chalk marks like a corpse in a murder scene. They were just like you know, when I used to do professional videos, you had a piece of tape on the floor, and then you put your shoes here, and the focus is here, and this is where you don't cross. And Dan, I'm telling you, I saw that, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Okay, yeah. And the reason I brought that up is we have so many good professional people out there, especially in video forensics, and just the other thing I wanted to tell you, and I'm not bragging here, but my pineal gland is 100% online, and people say, oh, that's my gut instinct. People need to go in and research that and what that pineal gland does. That little pine cone up there is invaluable. And keep it healthy is invaluable. And, you know, I'm just going down my show notes here. But don't you find it interesting that a random parking lot, and it was a police chase, of course, that led up to this, but this was such poor production because they had these, they looked like chalk marks. It wasn't white tape. It looked like somebody just went out there with a big ball of chalk. And his arms, Dan, were 100% parallel, offset, if you will, because I could see him, but parallel to those chalk marks. And this is a business parking lot. Why would they be there?
Well, it's all theater. That's why I say, you know, we're going to find out that they're liars. I mean, you know, just as Christ told us, these people don't know how to tell the truth. That's all they are. Everything about their life is a lie. They have no talent. They're all tied in with the cabal through money and family and blood. They're all misfits. They're all Satanists. They're all liars. And they get people with money.
Well, what gets me, Dan, is are people just that shut down that can't see what we see? That's what gets me worse than the acting, the hepatitis A and the measles vaccine and, you know, the boogeyman under the bed. Where did people's thought process go? Where did it go, Daniel?
They're under that strong delusion. Okay, and it's like I've told people, they say, well, who do you know to talk to? Who do you trust? And, you know, who do you want to try to convince of the truth and whatnot? I said, one of the very first things you have to do is watch their behavior. If they watch a lot of television, if their face is glued to the screen of a cell phone or a tablet, stay away from them. They're lost. Unless you can convince them to put those damn things down. Now, once the magic of the flat screen is not in their face, you might get some thoughts through and you might get to them. But as long as they're watching that programming, that kabuki theater and that magic coming across the flat screen that the Antichrist runs, as long as they're tuned into that, your chances of reaching them are pretty small.
Well, and there again, that's by design. I mean, again, I watched the hearing with Barr today, and I'll tell you what, I recommend, I don't watch TV. I do have access to 450 channels of pure crap, just so I can keep an eye on the enemy. I want entertainment, I will get a movie. I recommend everyone go out and look at the movie The Way. My business partner and his lovely wife are going to go do the pilgrimage at the El Camino through Spain. And the movie The Way is a good lesson to me even. I got to get out of the business mode and get out there and smell the roses. And I'm not going to be a movie killer, but I highly recommend that movie, and it is directed by Emilio Estevez, which I didn't know is who's the old man that was in Charlie Sheen's father, Martin Sheen's son. Now, I don't know if he had him out of wedlock or whatever, and I'm not, I know Hollywood, even the actors, Dan, that I used to really love to watch, like even Charlie Sheen in the movie The Wall Street, and but the storyline and the message in the movie, it's called The Way, and it is entirely, except for a little bit of lead up and a little bit of flashback to get you, you know, under the reasons why, but it's all, are you familiar with the El Camino Trail?
No.
Through Spain? I guess it will take you 3 months by foot to do the entire pilgrimage, and Tom and his wife are going to, they go hiking all over the world on foot, but they're going to do it by bicycle this time just in the interest of time. And I should get some live FaceTimes and some good live video. But the it's a pilgrimage, and it is very biblical. They meet a lot of good spiritual people along the way. There's a lot of good life lessons in this movie. No theater, no drama. And when Tom recommended I watch that movie, it when I did watch it, I took entire time to watch the entire movie with no distractions. And it was really not what I thought it was going to be. And it is a life lesson to workaholics. And it taught me that, you know, I can't just drop my phones and electronics. I can't right now. Because that is how I can help people and I get the message out. And frankly, Dan, that's how I pay my bills.
Right.
But I use my technology and my time, much like you're using your technology to do your gift of time tonight and Sundays. You know, I don't use it to poison my mind, and I use it to do analyticals and share, you know, observations like I did about this ridiculous standoff in California. But to circle back, I'm really hoping in the next year that I can break away from my data center and my commitment to my people. Because frankly, Dan, you said man cave. I don't have any interest to get out there. You know, when I met with you a couple times or, you know, even getting with Phil, he's right here in my jurisdiction, or linking back up with Jay. I like to get out and socialize and even have a beer or, you know, have a glass of scotch and a cigar. I don't think that makes me a sinner, but I don't smell the roses, Dan, and here we are. It's already May 1st, April, yeah, May 1st. I mean, and we're going to blink our eyes. It's going to be June 1st. It's going to be July 1st. We're going to get wrapped up in this political nightmare. So count me in. I mean, we have got to do something. You know, violence isn't the answer, but I'm on high alert because I will defend my farm here. I would, you know, defend my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a way to build a better mousetrap around these Democrats, and I'll yield with that. But these people are way out of control. I do recommend you go watch that hearing, Dan. It'll
yep.
just solidify what we already know and talked about.
It's, you know, Washington, D.C. is a joke. It's an insult to anybody's intelligence just watching these morons perform. And they virtually guarantee that the word kakistocracy is exactly what they are. It's perfect. They are governance by the worst elements of our society. Worst. Not the best, the worst, which is against what the Founding Fathers envisioned for this country, and it's also against what the biblical teachings are. But these preachers won't preach the truth, because that would empty the pews. At least that's what they think. The thing of it is, it would empty the pews for them, but it would fill the pews of people telling the truth. Now, these people in government do not deserve our loyalty. They don't deserve our money, our loyalty, our attention, or we should just turn our backs on them exactly as they should be treated. They don't exist. And those that committed crimes should be arrested and tried. That's what needs to happen. I'm here to do that, by the way. That's what I'm here to do.
I am too.
So,
yeah, amen. And back to your Ark City.
Right.
Your Ark project. I bring a lot to the table. I am my own man. I do march to my own drum, but I work well with groups. But I truly think and I've said this for years, and One America News is proving me right, there is such an opportunity, back to your thing about building a better mousetrap, to become a true broadcaster. And because I can't burp without YouTube shutting me down. And you know, my Channel 7 radio, I didn't just pull that out of the air. That channel has meaning. And it's still up and running, Bank versus You. I can upload videos all day. I just can't go live. And that's why I'm treating Cigar Jimmy with kid gloves and just doing live.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are just waiting to find a reason to shut my butt down. But if we set up with my FCC license and others in our group that are nowhere in telecom, and you know, we set up a broadcasting network and even have video through the internet. I mean, we already have all the tools. And that's something I really want to put out there to, I won't mention his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a huge way for even the Ark City, not so much to advertise its existence and pull people in. And I'm sure that is going to be done through a calling, and I don't think we need to advertise it, but that's my two cents. But, like, you know, I'm up 5:30 in the morning, and I am constantly on Pass the Salt in
right.
the morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Coach Dave is out of control like me on his, you know, his voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset. You know, he's walking in my path. He's got a visit from the FBI. And he said, you know, he was on the air, and he said, you know, for 2 months, God said, drive to Hillary's house, drive to Hillary's house, drive to Hillary's house. And after he got the visit, I guess one of his friends came in and said, when are you going to do it? And it was really the Lord saying, when are you going to do it? And nobody went with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen his episode, but he said, I'll tell you guys, my knees were knocking.
Oh, sure.
The whole way there.
Yeah.
And the whole way back, he had to settle down. But he was on the ground about 30 minutes by himself. And I'll tell you what, if I would have known that he was gone, I would have at least, because he's in Ohio and he drove all the way to New York. And, you know, if I was in that jurisdiction, I'd have ridden with him, but I would have at least had a direct phone connection with him and aired it. But you know what? The man went and did the Lord's work. Went through the fear or the concern, because fear is not what we're all about.
Right.
But I really, really gained a lot of respect for him. And, you know, he was down here in, I think it was Sarasota, Fort Myers for 3 days. I didn't know he was coming down, or I'd have found out a way where we could have gone met with him. But they came down on a 3-day vacation. They just got back late last night. And he did a great show this morning. So I just wanted to share that with you, too. If you ever,
mm-hmm.
I'm typically there in the mornings. There's good people there. There's not the bullshit chat rooms, just like my chat room. You're not going to see any of these hot doggers in there. And your chat room was quiet tonight, man. Is everybody sleeping, or are we just really getting their attention? But anyway, again, I'm all over the map. But Coach Dave has got my support. We need to let him know that we exist out here. And my point to all that was we could set up one hell of a broadcast station that could emulate what I think One America News Network. And I've been in touch with them, and they've given me permission to re-air their feed. I spent $2,000 to put two dishes out in the back. And the problem we ran into, if you care, is they gave me permission to be an affiliate. But when I said YouTube, they said, well, wait a minute. If we tell YouTube that you're able to broadcast our feed under our terms and conditions, YouTube came back and said, well, if we let this Hutmaster guy or Seven Radio or whatever you want to call me, Bank versus You, then we have to let anybody else do it. That was YouTube blew that deal, is what I'm saying. So we have to find a way to really set up some real-time message protocol servers. I've got the place to do it. I've got the bandwidth, but my ISP is messing with me, and I don't know if it's because of what I do in this room or what's going on in the other room. I'm certainly not running porn channels or anything nefarious here. But the point to that rant, and I'll yield, is we really have got to put a fast move on setting up a true broadcasting channel and then bring in affiliates and let Coach Dave have time. Let Hagman and Hagman have time. Of course, Pastor Dan, Commander Dan. It'd be nice if you did more frequent shows or maybe some, you know, come on my channel and just do a Q&A. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm, you know, and again, I keep saying I'm going to yield, but you know I sit here day after day after day going, what else can I do? There's something I'm missing, something I'm missing. And frankly, Dan, that's driving me nuts.
Well, it's got a lot of people frustrated, and I know it's you hear it from me all the time, and it probably gets annoying. But you know, all things in His time. That's the only answer I've ever been given. Every time I've asked about why is it taking so long, why am I sitting here, why am I down here stuck in the tip of this peninsula amongst all these other races day in and day out. Most people can't figure that out. I can't figure it out. But it's because that's where I'm at. And when He wants me to move, I'll know. I always know when He wants me to move. And if I try to move against His time, I'll fall flat on my face. And I'm not going to do that, even though I don't understand it. I don't know why things seem to be taking forever to get moving. I can't answer that. All I know is that I learned a long time ago, if you go against His plan, it gets ugly very fast. If you stay within His plan, no harm comes to you. Psalm 91. And I'm going to stay in His plan. What other people do is up to them. I'm going to stay right in the middle of the stream with Him. Because that's the way to success. That's the way to win this thing. He's in control. I mean, if He's not in control, then we're wasting our time. Because there is no God, there is no solution, and we're all going to die. The Bolsheviks win. Our children are slaves forever. They're eaten. They're raped. There is no outcome for mankind other than misery and eventual death. Okay, I don't go that way. I know He exists. I know He's in control.
Amen.
Okay.
And oh, so I know it, Dan. You know. I see it. I feel it. And patience is virtue is one of my dad's favorite, you know, cliches. The other one is, if it works, don't fix it. That's my favorite because I rule that in my business. But, I'm patient, Dan. I get calm. I get wound up on some of my radio shows. I bring a friend in from Texas, and our girl Deb from North Carolina did a conference call a few nights ago, and it just got into we're all just enraged, and we're all calm, educated people, but enough's enough. And I get enraged when I see the Democrats in a congressional hearing just up there filleting our attorney general. And I tell you, if there's such a thing as patience of Job, Attorney General Barr's got it. He's got it down pat. I could never sit there. Well, I could try, but I don't think I'd succeed. And he is just calm and cool as a cucumber. Where I would be outraged at the Kabuki Theater.
Right.
But I'm patient, Dan. I'm here. I'm willing to listen. I do have commitments, but I'm also you know, I have no wife, no kids. And speaking of that, I'm not going to ask you on air, but is this the same sister that we just went through some issues
yes.
with a couple months ago?
Yes.
Well, she's on my prayer list, and I put a sticky note up. She's in her prayers, and if there's anything I can do, or if you come up to Tampa, if that's where things are going to happen, and you've got some time, please let me know. I'll come meet you.
Mm-hmm.
But prayers up, and you said April 13th?
May 13th.
I'm sorry, May 13th. I'm stuck in April. Well, I was really taken back by when you said that at the beginning of the show, and maybe if we talk off air, you can share what or how, but that's it too, Dan. You and I are dealing with all these demonic distractions, or maybe, like you said and others have said, maybe this is just something that you need to get through with your team here that's going to make us stronger. I don't know, Dan, but in yielding, thank you for your time, for all you do, and you need something, if it's in my pocket, brother, it's yours.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. Yahweh bless, buddy. Keep up the good work, and you take good care, okay?
Yes, sir. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Jimmy up there in Tampa with Cigar Jimmy is the channel's name now, but it's originally Bank Versus You. One of our warrior saints that Jamie Walden talks about in his book, Omega Dynamics. And we have to prepare for this war, and it's coming. Also, I forgot to mention earlier, on a good note, I did receive some contact with our brother Jay today. It was just a very brief contact, but at least we know he's alive and still with us, and so I was very excited about that, and I hope to catch up with him and get some further details of what's going on and maybe have him back on the air with us here very, very soon. Keep him in your prayers as well. I have no idea what's going on, but he dropped off the radar there for quite some time, and now he's back, and I really am really happy to hear from him. And the ARC Project and the ministry and the awakening of all of our people, all of this earth. And remember, as the sons of Yahweh, who we are, as we become manifest, as we start working, as we start coming together, as we start to fix these problems, all of mankind will benefit. All of mankind. Just like the woman with the sick daughter in Matthew, when she talked to the Christ himself. Okay? Crumbs from their master's table. Okay? We are his sons and daughters. We were put here to occupy and to bring peace on this earth. Law and order brings peace, true peace. And these fake, phony Jews that are out here running around have created a very despicable situation. And the whole world is in travail. The whole world is groaning under this misery, waiting for us to fix it. And like Jimmy, I'm impatient. I have to admit, I want it fixed now, but at the same time, I'm just a soldier in his army. The commander has to give the orders, and when he gives them to me, I'll certainly give them to you. Trust me. I've been doing this for a long time. I have no problem passing it on from him to you. No way could I hang on to it. So, dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to share and to be with like-minded brothers and sisters. We pray for the great awakening that's happening right now. There's evidence, more and more evidence every day coming that your word is permeating this sick, sick world. People are reaching out. Even the paganists and the Odinists and the racialists of Europe are starting to reach out for the spiritual side of the equation. They've got the racial aspect down. They've got the history and the lies down. But they didn't have the spiritual because of this fake, phony Christian church, this churchianity that poses as true faith when it's actually just a business. Praise Yahweh for that. They're reaching out. Our family is starting to come back together. We need to think and act like a family, and we'll fix this problem, and all of this earth can be restored. All of it. It can be fixed. We just have to decide we're going to do it. He's given us the tools, and we just need to do it. So, Father, give us a stiff backbone. Give us courage. No fear amongst us. Nothing but clear, open eyes to see the way to go. Good discernment to see through the lies and deceptions of the enemy. Keep exposing the lies of these bastards. And give us good men of courage as our leaders, that we can go forward and that the people can see them, and they could be the standard that you talked about to be raised for your people. You are the ultimate standard, but the people also need to see the flesh body leaders, Father. And you lift them up as you see fit, and that the people might see them and come to them to know the truth about you and what the world is supposed to be all about. Be with our sons and daughters. Be with our brother Jay in whatever situation he's gone with. Be with my dear sister as she prepares for this medical operation. Be with all of your sons and daughters, for we're all going through some sort of trial and tribulation. Forgive us our shortcomings and our stumblings and our falls. And we ask, Father, that you would imbue your Holy Spirit upon us, the great comforter that you told us that would surpass all understanding. Allow that comforter to enter into all of us, that it would strengthen us and encourage us and give us hope for the future. And always, Father, please protect us from our multitude of enemies. And we ask this all in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.